body. Here's to the biscuit top. Here's to the Java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the Food guys. Today, we'd like to talk a little bit about genetically modified products. I want to preface this by saying that I, John Jackson, I'm an informed layman, but my colleague here, Dr. Gregory Patent, you're a trained biologist. You taught biology at the university.
Yes.
And our muse, Dr. Dorothy Patent, is likewise a trained biologist. Anyway, we want to talk about the growing problem of GMOs, genetically modified organisms, which the industry asserts is like natural breeding of plants and it's quite safe. But we don't find that's quite the case, do we?
We don't really know that much about safety. Anytime you're going to be inserting genes from one species into another species for a particular effect that you want, I don't know if we have enough data to say that that's really safe, because you're disrupting the whole genetic structure of the organism that you're inserting this gene into. We have regulator genes, and then we have expressive genes, and we don't know how these genes that have just been put in there, if you take a bacterial gene and put it into a rat genetic system, what effect does this ultimately have on the physiology of the rat, for example? Or if you want to put it into a plant organism, you take a bacterial gene, you put it into a plant organism because you want to convey some kind of protective function against an herbicide or a pesticide. You still don't know what this is going to do to the plant itself.
Yes, one thing we know is that in nature itself, almost 100% of mutations in genes, part of the process of evolution, are rejected. But over long, long periods of trial and error, more or less, certain changes take place. Other creatures around them adapt one way or the other. That's the way it happens. What we're talking about now are things that are happening in a lab within, let's say, a year or two. These products could be in your supermarket for you to purchase and ingest without, well, you might say that it's adequate testing, but we're talking about a flash in the pan before this product actually comes online. It really doesn't prove out somehow.
The thing is that the GMO industry makes all kinds of claims. They say that hundreds of millions of GMO meals have been served with no adverse effects. What do you mean by that? What do they consider an adverse effect and how do they measure it? Where are the studies? Where can we look these things up? I don't think the data are available, John.
No, they aren't available. For instance, I see that the conventional process is to test, for instance, a genetic change in a rat for a maximum of 90 days. That's it.
That's it.
That's long enough. That's the equivalent, presumably, of about 7 to 9 years of human life, which is way too little.
Right, because it's not even a generation.
It's not even a generation. And many, many genetic problems will occur in multiple generations.
The GMO industry is claiming that without them, we can't feed the world.
Well, that's a joke, really. In the first place, they aren't coming anywhere near feeding the world right now. Beyond that, there are no particular studies. They're talking about a handful of products that will be genetically modified and it's going to feed everybody. We'll all be eating soy, corn, or whatever it is. Just on the face of it, if you're putting all your eggs in one little basket, that's a prescription for disaster right there.
The message that I get when I read about GMOs and I see how the manufacturers of the GMOs are claiming that they're doing good things for the world.
Yeah.
What we really need to do is look at who is claiming that, who are these manufacturers, and isn't it just a question of following the money?
Well, I think it is.
They just want to earn the money. They're not doing due diligence with the research. They're not able to feed the world right now like they said they were going to with their products. And so we have to look to companies like Monsanto. All they really want to do is make their product.
An herbicide or an insecticide, who knows what the impact on valuable topsoil is going to have.
Well, and also the water. If these products get washed into the river systems, the toxicity to the soil, it's very important to check on that.
Very important. And I think the crucial thing here is right now they're resisting even any suggestion that they should label their products.
Well, they fight it tooth and nail.
Oh, yeah. We're going to keep tabs on this, and we'll report what we can find out of any significance over the Food Guys programs in the future. With that in mind, stay tuned to
The Food Guys. Guys.